It's the Butt Campus.
You see, we have our ulterior motives here at the Butt Campus, you know.
And you know me.
Let's make it happen.
With DCST.
People are sitting up here, you know, being blind and oblivious to the bullshit that's happening in our country, and then not trying to take action until that shit hits home.
It's going to come down to the everyday man to make a change. It's not going to be the quote-unquote leaders or, you know, the athletes or, you know, the entertainers.
I mean, because my mom tells me stories about different doctors who find cures for different diseases and things, and she always tells me that, you know, they either run them out of town, or, you know, they pay them off, they get rid of them because they cure people.
You ever notice, like, when something like major going on in sports, they like throw out like a sentencing of a cop that got off, but it'd be like going on doing, like, you know, game 7 of the NBA finals, like Super Bowl.
Yeah, all the cops got away with the murder. NBA finals coming up next.
And now, ECST.
And we begin to rock.
What they know about the whispers, though.
Yeah, they probably know shit about the whispers, man. Right now, y'all need to Google the whispers. And if y'all don't see, like, 4 or 5 black dudes with big-ass mustaches, y'all on the wrong Google search. Man, they had some good music, man.
Yeah, they did. Throwbacks, man.
Yeah, I know, dude. Like, man, when I remember I first met you in college, man, we were both on that the old school music vibe, man. And we were always talking about, man, how just, like, music back in the day, man, just had so much soul and so much, just almost like, not trying to be redundant, but actually was kind of, it was music.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to what's out here now, man, with the skipper and all this other bullshit. Yeah. Jump down, man, but.
Yeah, you had real feelings in the artistry.
Exactly, man. And you weren't talking about fucking a woman and just leaving her, at least when they were talking about fucking the woman, and you know what I'm saying, they put some class behind it, you know?
It was like she understood that, you know, she was only there for one night, but, you know, he was going to do it right by leaving some money on the nightstand.
Hell yeah, not making her feel like such a hoe after he leave her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she'd be like, you know what, I don't feel like a hoe just fucking him and he ain't there, just call me back. I don't feel that bad. Now it's just like, man, get you hoe. You know, make it feel like a piece of shit and don't even try to finesse it. You know what I'm saying? Nope. At least lie to, you know, lie to the female. You know, try to at least have them have some self dignity so they can do it for the next guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, them days are over.
Oh yeah, man. Shit. You know, people know how to do it for the next guy. Or the next guy, the next girl that come through to know how to, you know, finesse it right. You know, leave them like a $20 gift card at Waffle House or something. Be like, treat yourself nice. You know what I'm saying? She's like, you know what? And she eating that, what they call that junk? The hash browns? You had like a certain name for it, or the hash browns, or how you make them.
It's like chunked. Or like,
yeah, some shit like that, hell yeah.
Geist.
Chewing that shit. Or some shit like that, but. Yeah, dude, man. Old school music will always have a place in my heart, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, speaking of which, man, last Friday, guess what turned 21 years old?
What's that?
Return of the Mac. Oh! Oh my god!
There I go.
Yeah, I do.
Do.
Like every time I hit the gym, look at myself in the mirror, I be playing that Chevy Standard myself, like, yeah. I'm that shit. I fucking love that song, dude. But
you lied to me.
You did. You did. That nigga was hurt, ST.
He was. To the core,
dude. You know what I'm saying? He already had the white picket fence, the dog, you know what I'm saying? The 2 kids, you know what I'm saying? The vacations in the summer we're planning for. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She went down for him, man. She lied to him.
Yeah.
She went down, man. But, man, how was your weekend, though?
Man, it was pretty straight, you know. Got a chance to, you know, listen to some music, man. You know, that new Rick Ross came out.
Oh yeah,
and, man, that junk is nice. It kind of reminds me of Deeper Than Rap, As to me, that was the last time I thought he had a pretty solid album.
Yeah.
But this junk is pretty good, man. You know, barring what we about to talk about, but you know, it's more than just his normal, you know, egocentric dope dealer fantasies.
Yeah, dude, because he was talking about didn't mean to cut y'all, but he was talking about like owning businesses.
Yeah.
He has a Chris Rock on there. That shit was kind of funny. Then he was like, man, what you know about Wingstop? And I remember I was riding and I was like, hey, Wingstop garbage, but I know he owns a franchise, but that shit garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he was talking about just two. I ain't trying to say, you know, like, I don't want y'all hitting me up talking about now trying to make Rick Ross bigger than what he is, trying to make him like some Andre 3000, but he's speaking on some real stuff like investing your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, investing in money. Or he was talking about real estate. He was talking. Yeah. He was talking about his business that he owns, and people gonna over. You know, that shit gonna fly over their head.
Yeah,
but he trying to let people know how to get into the game, especially for the people in the streets that need to learn the financial game. Man, that's the one thing that we as black people just don't care about and just don't find sexy.
Yeah, because it takes too much work. That's why it
takes too much work, and it's a marathon.
It takes too much. Yeah, exactly. It takes too much work and it takes too much time.
Yeah, so, it's not instant, man. That's the issue that a lot of us have, man. Not knowing that we gotta focus on our future, man, and look into stocks, look into bonds, look into mutual funds, look into real estate options. You need to look into that kind of stuff. He mentioned that in his songs.
Yeah, he did. I'm happy that he did it, but I kind of hate that he waited so long to do it. So yeah, this is something that, you know, that probably could have came out like two or three albums ago.
Yeah, but also another thing, man, when I was around I-20, man, I was coming home, I was like, no matter what people say about Rick Ross, the motherfucker know how to pick beats.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And he know how to float them beats, and he like. Man, real talk, man. He one of my like rappers I don't really tell people about. I don't like be out and about and listen to Rick Ross, but man, I'm close to Rick Ross, dude.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing though. Like, Rick Ross has the potential to be, you know, no pun intended, but an elephant in the room. Like, he could be like a giant in the game.
And,
you know, if he stopped, you know, wasting his time on, you know, some of the bullshit, like that nigga would be huge. And he could be like, you know, another Biggie, you know, or a Tupac. You know, he could be that. But the thing is he's too focused on, you know, being so lame, you know, doing stupid stuff, man. But
it's a culture, ST, man. You gotta blame the culture, man.
Yeah, I know. Yep. But
culture sucks.
But I, you know, also listening to this record, man, of course, I was listening to the track where he was basically, you know, warning Meek Mill not to even mess around
I was about to say something about that. I'm glad you hit on it, man. That shit, he came out the gate talking about that shit, dog.
Yeah.
Like, speak on it, ST.
It was just, you know, it was funny to see how he, you know, played it out in the song, because he pretty much said, man, you gave up your friendship with a guy who could have helped you become, you know, something in this game over a woman. And as we go back, you know, to last week where we asked, you know, is the pussy worth it all? And, you know, we come back to this week, you know, and Meek Mill, like, obviously something that he didn't ask himself, because if you, you know, you look at things now, Nicki is back over there with Drake and him, and, you know, she ain't thinking about Meek no more.
Nope.
So, you know, he pretty much told him, yo, I tried to tell you about her, but, you know, I can only do so much as a big brother or, you know, or whatever, mentor or whatever. I can only stand to the side, you know, and hope that you do the right thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. That's the thing about women. That's the thing about women. Women are so sneaky and they so on top of the game, is they can be able to juggle a whole bunch of stuff. They can have, you know what I'm saying, penises getting ran all up in them. Have, you know what I'm saying, have a 9-to-5 job, then go home, take care of their three kids, get up, you know what I'm saying, then after that time, then they put the kids to sleep and got dick down, they have some time to start a side job, and they got that side job going while doing this other stuff. But when it comes to, you know, when it comes to men, man, you know what I'm saying, after we done went up in the walls, like, we just like, man, let me go and get me a damn peanut butter jelly sandwich and go to bed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just the mentality is different. That's like I've seen a lot of females, man, especially in the college and the high school days, where it was like big, huge partiers, man, but still got straight A's.
Yeah.
And now they running shit now, man.
You
get almost, it's almost just like, shout out alternative motive for using that dude. Cause a lot of people said that, you know, say every dude she's been with has written some, you know, written her shit for her.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, like Safari wrote shit for Meek wrote shit for. The rumors out there, it was one rumor out there she was dating Nas, so she's trying to get some bars from Nas. Wow. So she started spitting some psychological shit that you read out, that you read out of books. Just know, man, Nas went up in that real quick. It's gonna cost you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and of course, you know, the masterpiece of the album was, you know, when he was talking about Birdman.
Oh God, Idols Over Rivals, nigga. Speak on the ST. Jesus Christ.
I had to listen to that song. I think I listened to it like 10 times in a row.
And the thing about it, y'all, I was riding, man. I was riding to work, and I was listening to it. I was like, man, I was like, I gotta test my boy. I was like, ST, man, you gotta listen to this shit, man. This nigga going in hard. Like,
and the thing is, I don't think he went as hard as he could have, though.
Yeah, he could have went harder, man. Because half of this shit, I didn't know. Man, go ahead and speak on it, then I'm going to get my little two cents on it. But go ahead and hit it up real quick.
Yeah, so you know, one of the first things that I was impressed by, like, he compared Cash Money Records to the Catholic Church, and he compared Birdman to a Catholic priest. And if you think about it, with everything that Birdman has, you know, been about, like, it's similar. Like, it was clever. It was clever the way he compared the two. And, you know, he detailed the issues with, you know, Lil Wayne and his situation. And also, something that I knew wasn't going to be good from the beginning is when, you know, DJ Khaled got together with Cash Money. Like, they did a business venture together. And, like, I knew from the beginning, this was back when Cash Money was signing everybody under the sun. And, you know, I knew for some reason, I was just like, man, this ain't going to look good. Cause, you know, I think DJ Khaled brought his label. He brought his whole label over to the Cash Money side.
This part, now this is the part that I was like, I did not know. And I was like, what the fuck? Go ahead. This is the part I was like, damn.
Yeah. So basically Khaled, you know, being smart, you know, he saw how, you know, Cash Money's wave was going. He decides to move his label imprint over to, you know, We the Best, move it over to Cash Money. And somehow, some way or another, Birdman screwed him over in a deal. Khaled, you know, I guess being heartbroken, you know, went to Ross. And, you know, him and Ross are like, you know, they brothers. So, you know, like me and you. And I can't blame Rick for going at Birdman because, number one, if somebody doesn't have the balls to, you know, to speak up for what's right, then nobody will. And number two, Rick Ross, as he said in the song, he looked up to, you know, Cash Money and Birdman. And just to see all of this stuff going on and him never saying anything about it pretty much makes him a part of the process. Yep. So you can't blame Rick Ross for, you know, telling Birdman about himself. And that's the thing. People have been doing this. Well, they've been trying to, you know, allude to the fact that Birdman is dirty. But, you know, I've always believed it. Ever since, you know, of the debacle in the 90s when everybody in the clique left, I knew something was wrong. So I don't know, man. It's sad because the only thing Birdman can say is I don't get caught up into that. You know, I'm too focused on, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, stuffing my pockets and you know, that's all he can say. And, you know, he's never going, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that he's ever going to admit to any wrongdoing. And that's sad, man, because it's like, how can you be so prideful not to, you know, admit that you were wrong?
Tell you know,
seeing like, you know, somebody else that he pretty much raised, you know, as his own, BG, saying, you know, he said you didn't even visit him.
Man, man.
And that's supposed to be your man's.
And then, so, talk about what Turk got out, got him a three-piece, that's what he said?
Yeah. Like, Turk pretty much had to pretty much had to threaten you just to, for you to pay him what you owed him. And, you know, you shouldn't have to do all that, you know, but y'all have to listen to it. It's definitely worth, you know, the listen. I'm still enjoying it. I'm as a matter of fact, when we get done with this show, I'm finna put it back in, yo.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. And another part at the end of the song that really put the nail in the coffin, he was like, P.S. pay your producers. I was just like, shit. And then,
they have a history of not paying the people that supply them beats.
Jesus.
So, man. Matter of fact, I don't think Jazz Prince even got his money for discovering Drake.
Oh shit.
Like, this is years ago. Like, this is years of stuff that's been going on, man. Like, he has a history of doing this. And people are still riding with him. I don't understand that. And, you know, definition of insanity.
Yep. Doing the same thing over and over, think this shit's gonna work, man. Yeah. It's just, that's just the thing, man. When you ain't coming from shit, man, and you being somebody that you look up to, and you have something that's hot, and you see this shit as opportunity.
Yeah.
You're not gonna say no, man, because you're trying to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to be like, man, nah, man, I don't want to give him this beat or whatever. Another thing that I found interesting about the song was we just talked about, man, I used to, you know, watch them on TV, you know, thinking that, you know, everything that they were doing was just the best. I didn't know. Living that life is like not even knowing you don't have the shit that you have. And I was just like, man, like, dude, put it on out there.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. And then he was talking about Manny Fresh, Ever Seen a Light of Day, and I already said that.
Yeah.
It's man. God, dog, man, that shit.
It's powerful.
Yeah, man, it was, man. I was just like, okay, I was like Rick, dog. That's just like pulling somebody's dirty laundry out there and having one of them big-ass neon signs, like, really at night. Ain't nothing else on, like, no more lights on, but that big-ass light.
Yeah.
And all this, and it's like a big old Kermit just sipping tea, and under that junk, you got all the shit a nigga done did.
Yeah.
Like, man, that junk was ridiculous, man. But yeah, I'm definitely enjoying his whole CD, man. I'm gonna bump it some more. I'll bump it when I'm working out, when I'm probably bump it some more tonight as well, man. But
yeah,
another album that came out was that Drake album. And you know how when Drake drops something, Twitter goes crazy even before they hear the shit. Yeah. What's your thoughts on his CD, man? More like,
man, to be honest, I only caught like snippets of it because I'm so focused on this Ross album. To me, Drake is kind of taking a back seat because if you think about it, now the only thing Drake talks about is him being number one, him still sneak dissing niggas like Tory Lanez and Meek Mill. Like, he's still dissing these niggas.
Yeah. I don't know what the Tory Lanez. What's up with the Tory Lanez beef? I don't know what's up with that.
Well, you know, like, they both from Toronto.
Uh-huh.
He pretty much calls Tory Lanez a, I guess, a dick rider. That's pretty much what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Tory looking up to Drake and whatever. Yeah. I mean, if you listen to Tory Lanez's music, like, you realize he's pretty much a reincarnation of just about everybody that's popping right now. But I don't know, man. It's a meaningless beef because Drake is giving him pub.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. But, you know, Drake, again, he has his lame moments, and this is just one of them. It's like, you should be concentrating on, you know, other things. And of course, you know, I guess, you know, his very much talked about this towards Kid Cudi, but.
Oh shit! Oh man, because I ain't got to that point, man.
Yeah,
I said listen to Ross. What do you say about Kid Cudi?
Well, just pretty much embellishing on his drug problems, basically.
That's all they didn't hit on him on, man.
That's what I'm saying.
He's admitted to his own insecurities and his own flaws that he has, man.
So basically, he's kicking him while he's down.
That's not a good look.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why, you know, Drake is kind of taking a back seat to me right now because, you know, he's kind of lame. You know, he's still, you know, doing the same stuff. He's not really, you know, doing anything interesting anymore. So, you know, I guess when I get tired of Rick, I might, you know, listen to the, you know, more life. But as of right now, I ain't thinking about it. But yeah, that's pretty much how, you know, my weekend went, man. Shoot, how'd yours go?
Man, it was all right weekend, man. Ain't nothing really, not anything major happened, man, this past weekend. Ain't well, nothing really popped.
Tournament.
Oh, yeah. I kept up with that. With the NCAA tournament, man. I kept up with the upset. You know, NTSU, they busted up some brackets and, of course, lost in the second round once again. But, you know, shout out to the Blue Raiders. Yeah. But, yeah, you watched some of the games, man.
Yeah, I watched a couple. I watched Duke. They went down. I watched Wisconsin. Wisconsin beat Duke, didn't they?
They beat them. You're right. Yeah.
So you know, there weren't very many upsets this year. Just only like three, and really to be honest, MTSU over. You know, Minnesota wasn't really an upset because, you know, we had a, like I said before, we had a good squad this year. So, but yeah, other than that, man, just waiting to see what's going to happen tomorrow and, you know, the rest of the week. So, yeah, man, it's, I don't know, like I said, you know, the best part of the, you know, March Madness is over until, you know, the last two rounds. So, you know, until then, man, I ain't really going to be, you know, paying attention to much.
Yeah, I'm not really either. I'm going to wait till, shit, I might fucking wait till the Elite Eight to really pay attention. but we can talk about Lorenzo Ball. He doing, man, from the stats he put up on Sunday. The stats he put up on Sunday, man, we're looking good, man. He looking well as advertised, man. He looking real good, dude.
Yeah. I don't know, with his dad, you know, if he keeps running his mouth, it's going to kind of, you know, counteract the stock. But,
oh, speaking of which, how about Kenny the Jet Smith put on Twitter a couple of days ago, you know that image of Wilt Chamberlain holding up the piece where it said 100?
Yeah.
They put Lorenzo Ball head on it, and it said 2.2 points per game. And he said...
You're talking about LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball, yeah, his dad. And he said since Chuck says... Charles don't have social media. He made me put this up. That shit was funny as hell. But, yeah, man. I don't know, man. I just been keeping up mostly with, like, NFL free agency, man, which has been interesting. And we'll get on NFL in a minute. That's been my main focus. Like, the thing with me with basketball, man, I keep up with my Lakers.
Yeah.
And then I watch playoff basketball, because playoff NBA and, you know what I'm saying, like Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And maybe I might watch the Sweet 16 game tomorrow. We'll see what's up with it. Nah. But yeah, I'll probably be doing some other shit, man. Probably be rewatching Dave Chappelle special on Netflix.
His special's coming out.
Hell yeah, man. Speaking of which, let's get off that bullshit, man. Speaking of which, man, Dave Chappelle did a interview on CBS.
Yeah.
And, the lady interviewing him asked him, "Do you miss the Chappelle Show?"
Mm.
He was like, "Of course I miss the Chappelle Show." But he's like, "The Chappelle Show was like a ex-girlfriend." He was like, "You think about the good times, but do you think about why you left that bitch and why that bitch was crazy?"
Yeah.
He said he talked about how he just never saw his kids. He never really interacted with his wife. He kind of talked about his weight gain, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
He even talked about it. I was kind of like looking at that, like, why you mention this? But he was like, "Man, you look at me on the show, I'm real frail," which he was. He was real skinny. He was like, "Now I'm 40 pounds bigger." He was like, "Man," he's like, "I get to enjoy my food now, you know, and I get to, you know, to think." And he said, what he did spend it, like, what he did with his time while he was gone. He said he pretty much traveled the whole country. He said he actually, like, went up to people. Because, like, back in the day, people would be like, "Dave, you got some time?" Now he's like, "Oh, yeah, I got all the time in the world." People be shocked, like, "Are you serious? You got some time to talk?" But that was pretty much it. And then he kind of was talking about the Keel and Pell show, how he's kind of mad that he didn't.
Key and Peele.
Yeah, my bad. Key and Peele. How he didn't get any kind of props or recognition for him being the reason why they got that show. He was why, man. Period. Point blank, period.
Well, you know, as I told you before, you know, any sap can see that, you know, his show was the brainchild for Key and Peele.
Pretty much, yep.
If you think about it, Key and Peele did everything that Dave Chappelle wouldn't do. Dave Chappelle was not going to get, you know, dress up in a wig and dress.
Yep.
And pretty much, you know, emasculate himself. When you look at Key and Peele, I mean, that's pretty much a lot of this stuff, you know, that's pretty much what it was. And I don't know, man, it's just like, it was a poor reincarnation of the Chappelle Show. And I think it was more directed towards a white audience than anything.
Of course, man. It was almost like Oreos doing a comedy sketch. If y'all know what Oreos are.
Yeah.
It's a demeaning term to hurt black people that speak proper, and they say pretty much you act white, but you're black on side, but you're white on the inside. I call them Oreos. I remember I was called an Oreo back when I was in elementary school back in the day, cause I went to all white school. I mean, you're not like them, you know what I'm saying? You're Oreo. And I'm just like, it hurt me to the core because even back in the day, I knew when I was a kid, I knew I was black.
Yeah, I was about to say, you don't know me.
Yeah, you don't know me, homie, you know what I'm saying? You know, I go home, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, as a kid, you want to act out, and you want to fall into that game of, you know what I'm saying, not speaking proper English and all the other stuff, and just not being yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of missed kids, I don't want to get too deep in this shit, but you know, a lot of missed kids get confused.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know what I'm saying, with their white friends or their black friends or whoever they're with, they just don't know who to identify with, man. But shit, you brown, you black, let's go ahead and get this shit out of the way.
Yeah,
well, mm-hmm. don't, that's how the world sees you.
Pretty much,
it's not right or wrong, but it's just be who you are. But just know how the world sees you. So when things happen in society, you're not shocked.
Yeah, I'm about to say you won't be surprised.
Exactly, that's the only thing, man. Be who you are. But just know when shit goes down, don't be surprised when shit goes down. That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the Power Rangers movie is coming out tomorrow. You gonna go check that out?
Yeah, I'm almost like going, man. I'm gonna go see that shit. Cause you know, I grew up on that jump, the original.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I grew up on that shit. Speaking of which, man, who is your favorite Ranger, man?
Man, for a minute, it was the Black Ranger, just for the simple fact that he was black. And you know, then I learned who the leader was, and you know, and I was like, all right, Green Ranger, you got it.
Hell yeah, dude. That flute. And yeah. Green Ranger, no, I ain't gonna lie. My favorite Ranger was the White Ranger.
He was cool too. I kind of hate that they killed off, you know, the Green Ranger, you know, so early though.
Yeah, man, he was Green Ranger, fucking badass, dude.
Yeah.
At one point, wasn't he evil?
Yeah, because he was. I think he was brought up by Rita, and if I'm not mistaken, I think in this the movie, I think there might be some shades of Rita actually being a Power Ranger who went rogue.
Mm.
And I think that's where Green Ranger got his power from. Power that she had but could no longer really use. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see though. But yeah, I definitely want to check that movie out for sure. You know, just to see, you know, what they do with it. I kind of hate that they putting all these mainstream actors in it though, because it's like, all right, so you got Bryan Cranston playing Zordon. Right, now what happens if, you know, they do another movie and he's not able to make it?
Or his price go up.
Yeah. That's the only thing about, you know, about stuff like that is you can't always get the same characters back. But, you know, I'm hoping that it's good. You know, the actors that they have in the movie are young enough that, you know, they can, you know, I guess do a whole trilogy if they want.
Yeah, at least, yeah, I kind of want a trilogy for this.
Yeah.
And then just be done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we got the same idea, man. I would love to see a trilogy for this, man. But it's been getting good reviews.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely see, man. That's the thing about me. When I go see a movie, I go in with no expectation. Yeah. I'm just going to have a good time. And I usually come out of that bitch being with you know, I'm satisfied. I spent my fucking $50.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But dude, I will say this. I remember I took my sister to go see Passengers, and I ain't been to the movies in the Atlanta in about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And AMC has redesigned all their movie theaters.
Yeah.
It made me want to go see more movies because it got reserved seating.
Yeah.
It got reclined seats. You can recline the bitch all the way back.
Yep.
And they got that, dang it, that kind of, that Coca-Cola. What's that Coca-Cola thing? That the vending, the thing they have? Damn it.
It's like you can press like different flavors.
Yeah, it's a name for it, but y'all know what I'm talking about, man. Because them shits are like Zaxby's or whatever. But you know, they have like Peach Fanta.
Yeah.
You can't find that shit nowhere. And every time I go to the movies, man, I hit that bitch so hard. I be having a sugar rush by the time I'm at the end of the movie. I be shaking in my seat, dog. Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Like, if you go to the movie, like, the best thing to do, go on a Tuesday night. Cause you can get a ticket for like $7. Go on like if a movie come out on Thursday or Friday, just wait and go on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
You can get a ticket that would normally cost you about $16. You know, knocked down about $6. You get you a $7 ticket, and you know that's nothing.
Yeah, man. Especially with all the refreshments, and then you know what I'm saying, date night going to the movies, you know what I'm saying?
A nightmare.
A long-term investment. You taking somebody to the movies, like, bitch, we gonna get married. You know what I'm saying? This shit is expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, man. You know what I'm saying? I got a little change on me, man. I still be just like, man, like, they are gouging motherfuckers up in here. Like, do you not know there's a gas station right down the street where the Coke is like $1.29? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, come on, man. It's all about convenience.
Yeah, the power of convenience, man.
Yeah, they got the AMC I go to, they have a bar, too.
Mm.
That's a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, it is.
Every movie I've been in, I haven't had nobody yelling and getting drunk. So, you know, everybody's been responsible, so that's been straight. But yeah, I'm definitely going to see that, too, man. So, if we, you know what I'm saying, if we both get a chance to watch, man, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the, we'll give it a review, you know what I'm saying, on next week's episode.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have enough babble, so everybody, welcome to the 1 year anniversary episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. That's right, bitch, we did this shit for a year. You ain't think this can commit? We can commit. We're on every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on your favorite podcasts and services. That's iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Mac, and YouTube, and you can also follow us on your favorite social media sites where you're looking at news and porn clips.
Yeah.
Twitter at Black Canvas ECST and at Facebook at Black Canvas ECST. And without further ado, let's get to the motherfucking news.
Let's get it!
Some somber news to start out with, man, which is kind of, it's expected, but it's still sad to hear.
Yeah.
So, tight end legend for the San Francisco 49ers, Dwight Clark. If y'all know who Dwight Clark is, you need to look them up when you're a fake-ass football fan. And his claim to fame was the catch. And y'all, all you gotta do is just spin the catch, and you'll see Dwight Clark. So, pretty much he came out and stated that he has ALS.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, the jaded side of me was just like, shit, of course you're gonna get it. Like, you ain't gonna be the last. That's what I was thinking about. I was just kind of like, man, that's it. You know, that's affecting this. You know, it's gonna affect his family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I was thinking about the future of football too, as like another prominent figure, one of the cornerstones. He's kind of one of the cornerstones that built this game. One of those iconic players.
Yeah.
That built this game has gotten this disease. And I'm thinking, like, man, like in 50 years, man, will the NBA overtake the NFL as far as just marketability and just being a better game, because the NFL is just going to just become so knee-jerk to players retiring early. They already got sued for the head trauma, the CTE. And they're trying to just find ways to make the game safer to the point where it's going to just dilute the product and never have anything at the end of the day.
Mm.
I was just thinking about that a lot, man, because like what they're working on now is they're going to try to get rid of kickoffs, and kickoffs are a very prominent part of the game, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and they're going to just like, they do the coin toss, they put the damn ball on the 25-yard line. You know how many jobs you killing?
I was just about to say that a lot of people who, you know, made their careers during a kickoff, I don't think we would have a Steve Smith if there were no kickoffs. Because I think when he was a rookie, his first ever kickoff, he ran one back.
Yeah. And then, what was it? The Super Bowl where it was the Bears versus the Colts.
Yeah.
Devin Hester ran that jump back right in the opening kick of the game, man. And people, just, Bears fans were ecstatic, you know, until the end of the game when they lost. But that guy, like, and then speaking of which, man, Jacoby Jones, second half of the Ravens Super Bowl in New Orleans, he ran a kickoff back, man, for a touchdown, man. That's a momentum shift.
Yeah, he's run so many back.
Oh yeah,
it's like, you know, Devin Hester.
Yep.
And just like Cordell Patterson, because I mean, think about it. You know, these are some of the guys who, you know, weren't able to make a mark running routes right off the bat. Because I mean, I don't know if you've seen Cordell Patterson try to run a route, but it's pretty horrible.
It's pretty bad.
But you know, this is the way a lot of guys are making their mark in the game, and if they take that away, that's only going to handicap, you know, not only a team from keeping, you know, 6 or 7 wide receivers on the 53-man active roster, it's also going to kill, like, the momentum of people actually wanting to watch the game. You know, the rules that they've already put in place have kind of handicapped us already, because, you know, there aren't very many run backs anymore, because, you know, they put the ball so close to the, you know, to the opponents, just it's hard to even get anything going.
Man, it's like you run into a fucking wall.
Yeah.
And it's like you run into a wall with like a 2-step head start. Yeah. But for people that know what ALS is, it's a neurodegenerative disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Gehrig's an old baseball player. He was a Yankee, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so what it does, it disturbs the connection between the brain and the muscles, and you can eventually leave severe, it could pretty much paralyze you. Yeah. You pretty much have any function, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. over any of your muscles in your body, and you just don't have any control. Yeah. And that's scary, man.
Yeah, it gets to a point where, you know, the synapses in your brain don't fire anymore.
Yep. Like, another part of me was, it's just like the cost of doing business, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's the cost of doing business, man. When you're, now back in the day, they didn't make that much. So yeah. it kind of sucks for the old players that paved the way for these big ass contracts now for these players.
Yeah.
But just like, man, case in point, man, that tight end from the Miami Dolphins, man, Jordan Cameron, he got out, he retired, and he said one of the statements that I found very telling, which I wasn't really surprised by, but he said, man, a lot of people that play the game don't even love the game.
No, they don't.
And he's like, man, half of us just do it for the money.
Yeah.
And I watched this round table with Jim Trotter. That's the dude name I was thinking about last week. The black dude that worked for Sports Illustrated named Jim Trotter. I like Jim Trotter. Yeah. He was talking to Richard Sherman. It's cornerback from the Denver Broncos, and then two other linemen from the Bengals, another guy. And he was just like, man, like with the money that we get from our second contracts, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie. We sometimes sit up and just think about, man, quality of life after the game. He's like, man, I kind of got my money.
Yeah, they're contemplating quit.
Yep. And he's like, you know what I'm saying? I kind of already, you know, I got my ring. So for my case, it wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying, abnormal for me to want to go ahead and leave. This might be the new trend.
Yeah.
Especially if you already got a ring. And then they were just talking about other things, about just painkillers that they give them. They said they pass out painkillers like it's candy. Like,
wow.
After the games, they're just like, hey, man, just take these. You'll be all right. And they say it's like a limited supply of it.
Dang.
All the stuff just coming out, dude, about the NFL, man, just because it's this age that we live in where people want to be the first to get scoops on things. People don't know how to keep secrets. Everybody wants to be in the know. Everybody wants to snitch. Nobody wants to keep their mouth shut. People don't know how beneficial it is to a certain degree to keep your mouth shut on certain things if you want to keep the gravy train rolling.
Yeah.
So you can't really be, I'm not really going to be surprised if like next 20 to 50 years, man, football's garbage. When it come on, I barely watch. I'm going to be that old guy sitting up saying, back in my day, football was this. Because, man, what got us into football, man? He got jacked up.
Yeah.
You know, and the big ass, the big hits, and those highlight VHS tapes that we had of dudes getting their heads fucking blown off, dude. Yeah. That's what, like, that's what got me into football. Dudes getting capped. And yeah, you really see that junk anymore.
No, you don't, because you know now they penalize you for, you know, stuff like that.
The headhunter.
And like, even if it looks like it might be, you know, something of that nature, they penalize you for it. Guys have gotten to the point where, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, like why should I even, you know, why should I even watch this junk? It's not even, you know, what I remember the game being. So
it's just like, man, like, why should I put my life at risk when I know the symptoms now that it's like it's out there in broad daylight. What can happen to you?
Yeah.
Dude was blowing it, like shooting their brains out. Just can't handle the pain. My brain, taking in too much. It's just not funny, man. Trying to light the subject, but I will say this. Watch out for Tony Dorsett, because I know I've said this before.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Tony Dorsett is next, because he already talked about the symptoms, and this shit was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About, like, man, sometimes you get angry at my kids and just yell at them.
Wow.
And the punishment was delivered on him.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's been plenty of times where he's gotten racked.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying, the opposite, you know, has happened to him. But you know what's crazy, man? It's almost like Dip Buckus almost got out unscathed, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dip Buckus ate the wood, too. You barely hear him complaining about
anything.
Yeah, so he probably some shit going on behind the scenes. He's trying to just keep his mouth shut. But, yeah, man, I hate to hear that, man. Just don't be surprised, y'all, if y'all see players like J.J. Watt get out early, because I remember hinted at it. Being Roethlisberger leaving maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised. Get the fuck out of my division, I'd be happy. But I kind of see him leaving because he's contemplating it, because he ain't nothing but a white Steve McNair.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, white Steve McNair, and you know what I'm saying? He plays through pain, and he still gets a job done. Same thing Steve McNair did.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else you think ST would probably like just say fuck it and hang it up early? Earl Thomas, he might?
Yeah, he was thinking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if Kiko Alonso hangs it up.
Yeah.
Speaking of the NFL, real quick, man, I know we kind of gave this brother props a while ago.
Oh, shit. <Let's> go.
I got to pull his card real quick, because this nigga, we didn't even talk about it. That's the crazy thing. I'm surprised we let it go this far and we this for this long and didn't talk about it.
Hold on. Shit. Give me a hint. Let me guess who the player is. If you give me a hint, would pretty much be giving it away.
Yeah, I think right, so.
Yeah, go ahead then, man. Because I'm probably gonna be like hell yeah when you say his name. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick real quick.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
we're fresh off the, you know, kneeling for the national anthem debacle as. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. He restructures his contract so he can play. All right, cool. Now, he did all this kneeling down. Did common sense not tell him that, hey, you know, you might want to not opt out so you can continue to play, even if it's going to be for a whack team, hey, you still got, you know, a contract coming through. So, but instead of him following common sense, he decides to opt out of his contract. And now there is no GM within the league that wants to sign him because either one, they believe he can't play. Two, he brought too much attention to himself with this whole kneeling thing. And three, like, he hasn't shown any growth since Jim Harbaugh left. I'm just wondering, why would you opt out of your contract? Like, you gotta know that nobody's gonna be willing to sign you.
Bad like his advisors, best, man.
Yeah, his best opportunity was to stay there, fight for the quarterback job, see if you can get it. And if you don't get it, you still are making some money. Like now, you can't even. I don't think he can make a CFL team.
Yeah, because from what I'm hearing, some GMs say it's from his poor play, and some GMs are saying that some owners are really punishing him for, you know, taking a stand for, you know,
for
black rights, man.
Yeah. And making it's an example out of it.
Yeah, man, that good old boy system, man. Like, yeah. Motherfuckers still control too much shit, man. Yeah. And it's almost like Kaepernick knew what he was doing when he did it, and he knew the ramifications of it. That's why I still respect the brother. He didn't sell out. It was just like, man, F it. So you gotta respect him on that tip.
And we do.
Yeah, we do.
But the thing is, like, why would you opt out though, expecting that somebody else was gonna sign you?
Yeah, I would have restructured that deal, but there's been rumblings. I remember John Lynch said there's still a possibility that he could come back to the 49ers.
Okay.
At a different price point, of course, because he was making a lot, man. But
yes, he was.
Yeah, I don't know which rise or fall was. It's almost like his was worse because he at least made it to a Super Bowl. I was about to say him or RG3. Mm. His fall was worse, but you got to think about, he had nothing around him when they went on that run, that 2-3 year window run. They had a D, they had a hell of a defense.
Yeah, they did.
And he was their running game.
Yes, he was.
And then that running game turned to open up the deep end, so he could throw those long passes, man. So everything was in the right place there. And I think if Harbaugh would have stayed at least for 2 or 3 more years of that system, they would have won a ring, and Patrick Willis wouldn't have retired. All those players wouldn't retire all of a sudden. Like, all of them, they were like 23, 24, 28. Yeah. They were just like, man, I'm out. Like, yeah. They loved Harbaugh, man. And that Jed York needs to look himself in the mirror and be like, man, this cannot happen again. I cannot let egos get into it. You know what I'm saying? Just sometimes I beat a bigger man just to get that fucking ring. And then when history look back on it, be like, hey, man, that most of, like, some of the credit even go towards him. Yeah, and probably he probably deserved none of the credit, man. You got to think of the long term, man.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing about money, though. You know, when you have money, you know, the option or the reality to think rationally goes out the window, man.
Oh yeah, man. It's gone.
You know, pride takes over, and you know, everything else is secondary. So
yeah,
you know, that's just what happens, man. And you know, and it's messed up when you are the boss. And, you know, you get an interview and you got reporters questioning your integrity. You got reporters questioning your capability of, you know, running the team.
Yeah, man. He's like, why shouldn't you be fired? He's like, because owners don't get fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which, you know, being how things are this day and age in the NFL, that should change.
Yeah, it should, man. It should, like, motherfuckers be sweating. That was the case, man. But then another thing is that would just make the coaching turnover even higher.
Yes, it would.
Nobody was still fucking coaches. You know what I'm saying? Coaches be going into the damn meeting sweating bullets. Like, man, how much time you gonna give me and be real? A year. I'm out. See you later. you can't do shit in a fucking year, man. That's why I'm kind of truly worried about, Hugh Jackson, man. I don't think they'll give him time, man.
I know, man. And just how high turnover is there is, you know, pretty scary. Because nobody there can keep a job longer than 2 years.
They can't, man. It's just like, man, you're giving me shit and expecting me to bring back gold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking give me some time, man, to, like, spray paint this shit. You know what I'm saying? Let me open a fucking can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they eating shit sandwiches in Cleveland.
Man. Hell yeah, man. Shit, but now next news article, which I thought was kind of funny and sad at the same time, was go back to our last week's topic, man. Is a pussy worth it all?
Mm.
This teen admitted that he jumped into crocodile infested river to impress a girl. Let me preach this shit, y'all. So y'all can feel this shit. A teen admits that he jumped into a crocodile-infested river to impress a girl. And then in the subquotes under the headline, it says there was a lot of blood, a lot of bone, and it was pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, I don't care if it was my dream girl at the prime of her career.
Yeah.
Ass and titties on point. She said she's gonna drain my balls so I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And then she's gonna pay my bills. And then after that, after I regenerated, and she's went ahead and, you know, fed me some more food, drain the shits again, and swallow all my DNA. I still do this shit. I still wouldn't do it, dude.
Yeah, that's just idiotic, man.
Yeah, man, ain't no pussy worth jumping in crocodile infested water. So pretty much. First article said a lot of guys make bad choices to show off for girls. No shit, but these choices don't usually involve giant reptiles. They said, "Holy crap! I'm going for sure." It was an Australian backpacker named Lee Pong could think as he said when he found himself wrestling with a crocodile after he jumped into the river to impress a woman. DePaul described battling with the beast during the early hours of Sunday morning. At that point. I punched it in the snout. The second hit, I got it straight in the eye, then it let go. And then I'm looking at the girl that he's trying to impress. It's like, no offense to you, sweetie, but you ain't worth it. I wouldn't even, what's something that's like real simple that's not even risk? Like, I wouldn't, like, I, like, even, like,
break my pencil.
Yeah, I wouldn't even break, like, a number two lead pencil. You like that's how she's just so average. And then under the quote, she said she's beautiful, caring, and kind. Didn't know there was a crop there. I just did it for Sophia.
You are a jackass.
And then come to find out, Sophia wasn't impressed, and then didn't even visit him in the hospital.
See, and that's
what you get.
Yeah, that's exactly what you get.
Exactly what you get, your dumbass man. If I hear anybody, if I hear any of our listeners doing this kind of shit, you know, we disown you.
Stop being thirsty.
Stop being thirsty, man. This is such a thirsty culture we live in now, dude. It's just like whatever you gotta do to get some attention. If I gotta jump in a river to impress you, you ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Especially if she is like, you do this for me, I'll talk to you. I'm like, bitch, if you'll take your old crusty ass on and like your ass no way. You know, you pull that old option select on them. Like, I ain't like you no way. Especially with a girl like, you know, like, the old diss when the girl diss you. Like, ugly anyway, bitch. Like, no.
That's why your pussy roach infested.
Hell yeah, man. Shit. With ticks and shit in it. Like, dude, ain't no way.
Yeah.
Ain't no way, man. Because I remember back in the day, man, I used to sell cell phones. I would see dudes all the time come to there and be with a girlfriend, sign them up on a plan.
Yeah.
I took one dude to the side. I'm like, dude, you sure about this? He's like, what you talking about? Yeah, man. And then my head was like, oh, he ain't hit it yet. So,
yeah, exactly.
That's why he doing it for, you know what I'm saying? And if I'm the girl, I wouldn't let him hit for a phone. Like, what? How cheap are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. It's like that's something I never do, man. I ain't gonna do no phone. I ain't doing no kind of like huge commitment for a girlfriend unless we about to get married. We ain't about to even go that far.
Like, yeah.
Dudes, know your worth, gentlemen. Know your worth.
Please. Please.
And if you know you ain't worth shit, fix it.
Yeah.
Fuck. Alright, I'm done with that shit. Alright. Dumbass. And our last news topic, man, got an update on the ATL orgy, y'all. So come to find out, the orgy was a hoax, and like 15 guys showed up, and not one female whatsoever showed up to the orgy. And then the crazy thing about it is, I didn't know, y'all, that they paid $175 a piece.
Wow.
Through PayPal to be a part of this orgy.
Wow.
And some of the tweets were freaking hilarious. Like, some of the guys, like, man, waiting on the females to get here. One of the dudes brought 2K, so we about to get down on that shit until they arrive. And I was just like, man, come on, man. And then, like, the girl, because what ended up happening was this end up being a thesis paper for a girl. It was a psych student.
Yeah.
For a girl. I don't know what they didn't say what school she went to, but she pretty much was a thesis paper, on, you know what I'm saying, what guys would do to get some, you know, regardless of what's going on. But
what the guy's trying to do now is they're trying to sue her to get the money back. And some dude's talking about they're going to try to find it and rough her up. Just because they didn't get none. Like, man, like, when something might be too good to be true.
It is.
And I'm not saying something like this is too good to be true, because you know what I'm saying, orgy. If you, like, real talk, man, if you go to a, if you went to that orgy, you saw some females there, and half of one busted, I'd be surprised. And if there's some there that are, like, fine as hell, they got some demons crawling up in that DNA. Like, dog, ain't no way, man. You know what I'm saying? Women hungry for the dick, you know what I'm saying? Dudes hungry for the pussy. But when you find females that are down like that,
yeah,
to be there, I'd be skeptical, to, you know what I'm saying, to dip up in that shit. I'd be just kind of like, I don't know. You know what I'm even thinking? Like, man, I don't know if I should do this, but, you know, they fucking, dudes so stupid, they don't think past, you know what I'm saying, the next 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Thinking they contracting something.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but... Man, that was funny as hell, man. I knew that was hot as shit, and I'm glad we finally got down to the end of it. And then the girl that threw the event looked like a hot as shit. She wasn't cute. That just shows, like, some dudes will fuck anything, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, we'll fuck anything.
Yeah. You know, proximity and convenience is everything when it pertains to a man and his penis.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just be totally honest with you.
Yep.
You know, women, ladies, you know, you can't, I mean, you could be mad, but I mean, you really can't, cause I mean, that's just how it is. You know, men are like that. Proximity and convenience is everything when it pertains to a man's penis. So, hey, well, I mean, nothing else you can say.
Yeah, nothing else you can say, dude. So, man, jokes on y'all dumbasses for believing it was true.
Yeah.
And not just going out doing the old-fashioned way, man, using your game to get, you know what I'm saying, to get some females, man.
Yeah.
Putting your doll up and tricking your shit off.
Yeah. Use your mouthpiece, man.
Use your mouth. Nobody would know. That's just... ST, that's too hard.
Yeah, you're right.
It's too hard, man.
Yeah. Niggas is lazy. Oh, well.
And shit, we off that shit, man. That's all we got for the news, man. So let's go ahead and get into the topic.
Let's get it.
Go ahead, hit
them
with what we got. Hit with that flame in your ear.
What
we got this week, man?
Yeah! We finna hit y'all up with something very special this week. You know, as EC said earlier, this is the 1 year anniversary. You know, we kinda wanted to, you know, wait off until, you know, the perfect timing to give you this topic. And we gonna hit it off like this. You know, there's an age-old question. That age-old question is, is there such thing as monogamy before marriage? And along with that age-old question, there's a misconception. And the misconception is that a lot of people, both men and women, mostly women, believe that monogamy is included in their quote-unquote relationship. Now, in my opinion, I don't believe in monogamy before marriage. I don't think there is such thing as monogamy before marriage. And I already know that I'm going to hear somebody's mouth about this, but I don't give a damn. This is what I believe.
As he said, fuck your opinion. That's what he think. And there's a lot of validity to that. It's a lot of validity to it too, man. Go ahead and speak on it.
So, like, if you think about it, what is monogamy? Monogamy, to be totally honest, is a choice. It's a choice to be exclusive with your significant other. Now, with that being said, let me go further to say, when I say your significant other, I mean the person that you actually are married to. Because I don't think that there's such thing as monogamy in a quote-unquote relationship that is not bound together by marriage vows. If you didn't stand up in front of God, in front of other witnesses, and totally pledge yourself to, you know, to pledge your devotion, you know, pledge your love for another person, I don't believe that monogamy is included or required in your quote-unquote relationship. And a lot of people think that just because, you know, I'm a man and you a woman, that I have to be faithful to you, because there's no such thing as being faithful if I'm not married to you. So,
preach.
How I think is it's on the individual to decide whether or not they want to be exclusive with you. It's just like a job. Okay, if I walk into, you know, my place of employment and, you know, my boss walks up to me and he says, yo, I like what you're doing. You're doing a good job. You keep this up. You're going to get a promotion. Now, let's say 3 months down the road, I'm still doing what I'm doing, you know, and I guess time for a promotion comes up and I don't get it. That doesn't automatically mean that I'm supposed to get that promotion just because my boss says that I deserve it. Now, it's the same thing. Okay, just because a man is with you, that doesn't mean that he has to be faithful with you. It is his decision. It is his choice whether or not he wants to be the type of person that will only want to be with one person at a time. So let's just clear this misconception up. At any moment, you are dating somebody and, you know, you guys have not taken marriage vows. At any moment, the man or the woman can break out in song and say, I changed my mind. I don't love you no more.
Love you. And stop.
So, you know, let's just get that clear, because, you know, a lot of women think that just because they are in a relationship with somebody that they are owed, you know, monogamy. And that's that they can't be any further from the truth. And, you know, men too, of course. But, you know, I remember, you know, being in high school, I had my little girlfriend or whatever. And, you know, she cheated on me. And yeah, it sucked. You know, it stung for a little bit. And I kind of wanted to give her that same stinging feeling by, you know, smacking her with a brick. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, what could I do?
Yeah. Like, I'm totally committed.
Yeah, she don't owe me nothing.
Oh.
And I get tired of seeing people, you know, get upset about silly stuff like that. Especially if it's a relationship that you're not even, you know, seriously committed in. And even if you are quote unquote seriously committed, you can't judge a person on what they say. You can only judge a person on what they do. So you could have a guy saying, hey, I love you. You know, I'll never cheat on you. And he'll go right behind your back and be deceitful and do it anyway. Like, you can be mad, but what good would it do, really? Because if you haven't set up the foundation in your relationship that includes monogamy, then chalk it up and move on.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. I don't know why a lot of women and men get so butthurt when they're just dating somebody and in a quote unquote committed relationship, but they're not married, and yeah, it just doesn't work out, man. Wouldn't it be better for, you know what I'm saying, for you to, you know what I'm saying, break up now than to have the wedding, have the pictures, have the cake, yeah, have the honeymoon, yeah, have those lasting memories, especially if it's your first marriage that, yeah, you know what I'm saying, you'll never get back. You always think like that first one's going to be your last. It's always going to be better just to, you know what I'm saying, get that junk out the way, you know what I'm saying, now,
yeah,
than to wait down the line to kind of find out that, you know what I'm saying, he was sucking the dick all over town, spreading DNA sprinkles outside, you know, the water, yeah, sprinkles, you know what I'm saying, all yeah, over town, and you didn't know, and now you looking stupid. But you got to think about it, like, man, people fall in and out of love all the time, and
yeah,
like we said in earlier episodes, man, like, everybody wears a mask. Everybody puts their best face on right when they meet you.
Yeah.
And some people keep their mask on longer than the other. Some people can keep their shit on with, you know what I'm saying, extra adhesive glue. And some people keep their shit on with, you know what I'm saying, post-it notes.
Yeah.
And some people just be like, fuck it, I'm just take the shit off. I got, yeah, the pussy, or I got the dick, you know what I'm saying, I'm done. And it always goes back to people just not being upfront with each other and, yeah, trying to make something work that you know won't work. You know what I'm saying? She might laugh a certain way. He is like, oh my god, fuck, I hate her laugh. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Pussy's so good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, just so moist. Or some shit like that. Or her views on certain things, like her political views or social, you know, social economical views, you know, yes. And don't even coincide with yours. But you know what I'm saying? She could dress her ass off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She could take you places, man. You know the shit ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
She's still there. So it's on you, man. And then dating is just nothing but just pretty much trying to just see what you like and see what you don't like. Yeah. That's the whole object of dating. And I'm not saying go out here and, you know, go to, you know, one female and just be like, hey, man, you my one and only. I'll never cheat on you, yada, yada, yada. More people need to go up to each other and be like, hey, man, let's see if this will work out.
Yeah.
You know, let's see. This is like a 30-day trial period of Netflix. Let's just see if I like this before I go ahead and give you my credit card information.
Yeah.
You know, and then if I don't commit and I don't sign up for Netflix HD, don't be mad.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I can move on, and you can move on as well, and you should be happy that I didn't waste that much of your time or a lot of your time at all. Because that's another thing, man. Time is so precious.
Yes, it is.
When you get so deep into a relationship, and it's almost a point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
With a female so long, she already, you know what I'm saying, trying to build a future with you. And in your mind, you just like, man, I hate this hoe, but you know what I'm saying, she got a house, I got some place to stay. And you know, spend 2 years with her, you know, waste 2 years of her life, man. She could be with some dude that deserves her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. So that's another thing that people should do. They should always use relationships as just trial periods, trial memberships.
Yeah.
It's like going to, like I said, like Netflix, going to the gym, man. This gym might only have like one squat rack and, you know what I'm saying, one bench press, and that shit ain't enough because motherfuckers hold that shit up. And this other gym that you go to with the female got multiple squat racks, it got fast Smith machines.
Yeah.
Saying got a damn sauna, you know what I'm saying, jacuzzi, got all that shit, man. That's, you know what I'm saying, you gotta find out what you like and what you don't like, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And we said all of this basically to say that monogamy is not owed to you if you are not in a relationship that's bound together with marriage vows.
It's really not. It's not.
Man, that's all we're saying.
That's all we're saying, man. It's especially if neither one of y'all are up front with each other and it's all just kind of just like, yeah, I'm feeling you. You feeling me? Yeah. Neither one of y'all committed. So if either one of y'all sneaking around, the other one really shouldn't even get mad because you can't even truthful with the person to begin with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just set that person down and then look them in the face and be like, hey, you know what? I want to try to make this work. Go ahead and cut it off for everybody else. And this is going to be me in years.
Yeah.
And if he or she kind of like looks down or can't give you eye contact, then it might be your time to go ahead and bounce and think about that person you've been trying to want to smash for a while, you know what I'm saying? Go talk to them.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, this stuff because, like I said, it's not something that I would do personally. It's just the way I feel. I'm not saying that I would go out and, you know, look for other things because, as I said before, I'm happy. I'm where I want to be. And that's my choice. That's the choice that I make. That's the choice that, you know, I'm sticking to. But for the person that isn't quite there yet, who, you know, obviously wants to, you know, continue to, I guess, soil his or her wild oats and, you know, continue to look for, you know, whatever that they are looking for, a lot of the times, y'all don't know how to play the game. So the following is brought to y'all by EC. He's gonna give y'all the cheating playbook.
It's about time, y'all. He let the rain off me, son. He let the rain off me. Talking about this shit for like 2 or 3 months. 2 or 3 months have we family. It's like, man, I got the playbook for y'all. So everybody take notes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show y'all how to get it in and not let the other person know what the fuck is going on.
Let me just say this right here. The thoughts and practices of EC are EC's and EC's alone. ST in no way has no responsibility for this. So, yeah, don't blame me.
All right, y'all. Y'all get y'all pen and papers out. All y'all dirty Maccas, dirty players out there that want to get it in. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give y'all the foolproof guide to cheat and get away with it. Rule number one. Stay the fuck off of social media. That's rule number one. If you have social media right now, deactivate that shit. If you have Facebook, no longer get on it. Just whatever the last thing you ever said, if the last thing you said is, man, I want some French toast and some China food, that's the last thing you motherfuckers say if you with somebody. That's it. Cut the shit off. And if you just met the girl, if you just met the significant other and y'all haven't dated for a while, delete that shit now. If you already know you're going to be doing this shit. Rule number two. Have a wingman that's gonna hold up all your lies to the dying end. You gotta have that one guy or girl that you can call on at any moment and they're down for whatever fuckery you have that you about to tell them on the phone. Where you call them and be like, hey man, we were here, we did this, this, and this. And they're like, alright, cool, bet, I got you. Everybody, every dirty MAGA player needs that one wingman that's not gonna end up trying to blaze the woman that you're cheating on. And y'all have mutual understanding. So that's going to be really hard to find. But you can find them. Another mistake that dudes make, and this shit pisses me off, and this is when I was a kid. When I was a kid, and I would see a lot of dudes like get caught up, or like a teenager, when phones were coming out, cell phones coming out, you know, and we just get like the pre-phases of smartphones. We had like Blackberries and shit. The one thing I always thought about when dudes got caught up cheating and the phone always got them, I was just like, why don't dudes just name the people that they're cheating with family names of like distant cousins that they don't really fucking talk to or another male. Mm. So that's another thing. Name the side pieces, a cousin or a male. And another thing that you do that motherfuckers are so dumb that they don't do. Everybody got a damn Galaxy or a fucking iPhone. Put that motherfucker on do not disturb at all times. Don't ever let one of their texts pop up, period. I don't care if you're by yourself, because if your main piece has a key to your house and you sleep and she come in and you so tired from blazing your side piece, you know what I'm saying, you drain your balls and you went to sleep, you left your phone out in the living room, and then that text pop up, they got your ass. Cause now all you gotta do is do force touch on the iPhones, they at least look at that message. And then you know so they can go ahead and make, you know how women are fucking damn expect a gadget in this bitch. They can figure out shit quick. So that's another thing. Turn do not disturb on.
I was about to say, let me add room real quick. Yeah, go ahead. You could turn the display off. Like, it'll just, like, you know, especially if you have an iPhone, mm-hmm. it'll just come up as iPhone message or iMessage.
Yeah.
Or text message. Yeah, you can just turn the display off.
Yeah. So that's also an option. Thank you, ST. Another thing that dudes don't know how to let go of, and it's kind of understandable to a certain degree, but if she sends you nudes, take a mental fucking picture of it and delete it immediately. You're already fucking her, and you already, you know, been up in every orifice. It ain't no point of keeping the picture.
Or you can save it in your Dropbox.
Save it to a Dropbox. Or save it to a Dropbox. Try to keep everything in the cloud. You know what I'm saying? Don't have anything fucking physical. Because I was about to say, hey, get like a USB. But no, man, you can't even do that shit. Because I don't want, you know what I'm saying? She's like, yeah, a USB I can borrow. Then your dumbass forgets. You be like, yeah, man, because I think this is what I use my term paper. And you give her that, and you got all these pictures of the woman's sugar wall up in there, and all your nuts hanging out of it, and all that shit. So definitely do that shit in the cloud. And then if you make a password for your box, make that shit like a 13-digit passcode with letters, characters, and numbers. And write the passcode down. Make some shit you can't even remember yourself unless you look at your notes to look that shit up. I'm talking about, man, you got to be James Bond with this shit, man. Another thing that guys don't do that they should do to help out with the cheating is, man, find you a side piece that's about the same size as your mate. And I'm talking about, like, as far as, it don't have to be perfect as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, the breasts and the ass, but kind of the same size. Like, if she wears, like, a size 6, try to find a woman that's, like, a size 6. or try to find a woman that's like a size 7, so you can buy that matching outfits, give that one to her, and give the other one to her. So in case that, like, she leaves, so try to be slick, and leave a piece of article of clothing in your car to make sure you're not cheating, because women do that shit. She's like, oh, that's my old piece, if she forgot. But just in case you're going to play that shit off, where you said, oh yeah, I bought you another pair, but, you know, I forgot I already bought you one. And this, you remember this? I bought you this for your birthday, remember that? So, oh yeah, I was like, I maybe take a bottle twice. I'm going to return it. You know what I'm saying? Then you go and, you know, get rid of it. Another thing that's old, another old player rule is buy the other side piece same perfume. That's an old player trick. Mm. So buy them both the same perfume. So when you all up on them, when you come home and you smell like that, it's like, oh yeah, and she be like, oh, that's my perfume. You know what I'm saying? If she subconsciously, you know, smells it. She'd be like, oh yeah, it's a perfume that he bought me. And make sure you stress to her when you buy that perfume, always stress to her that you love that fragrance on her. So she always puts that shit on. So you can keep that shit going. You know what I'm saying? You gotta play the game, man. Rule number 7. This is an important rule. Never change your fucking routine with your main piece. Never. If your ass eats tacos on Tuesdays, nigga, eat tacos on Tuesdays. Mm. Don't ever do anything out of the ordinary with the main piece. Everything has to be the same. You know, so you come in on Monday and watch Monday Night Football or Pieces of Wings. Come in Monday Night Football and watch Pieces of Wings. Don't all of a sudden change up and not sit at home and she's at the house with you and go to the bar and be with your side piece and watch the game and go somewhere else. Keep that same routine going to not throw off the main piece, because women know when shit is different. Women know their men. When they really love their men, they know when something's different. Mm. When a man mannerism changes, don't fucking change it. Mannerisms. If, you know, the side piece you with has like a quirky saying that you like, which you shouldn't be saying no way, don't be saying that shit around her.
No.
Yeah, don't be all of a sudden like, I don't say that kind of shit. That's on the bitch. Cause, you know, only certain women say certain phrases. Don't say that shit around her at all, man. You gotta keep this shit on point. So this might not be for the most, you know, for the dumb niggas out there. This is for niggas that can juggle shit. This is for niggas that can juggle chainsaws and sulfuric acid at the same time. That's what the fuck you doing. You know what I'm saying?
This is for the calculating niggas.
Yeah, it's for the dudes that can do more than, you know, they can do calculus, you know what I'm saying, and chew gum at the same time. It ain't for the niggas that can't do arithmetic, you know what I'm saying, and just sit there, you know, and throw a pencil on your finger. That's not for them niggas.
Or the nigga that actually thinks before he does things.
Hell yeah, dude has a plan. Like, this gotta be a plan, man. Like, this almost gotta be a game to you. If you gonna take it to this level, and one of my last points is always keep your sex drive up with the main piece. Mm. This is another thing that dudes fuck up with. You know what I'm saying? They'll go ahead, they gotta taste that new pussy, and they go ahead and wear that out. And then when they come home, they don't give the main piece none. They don't even lick it up any. Like, you know, like, if it comes to that point, man, buy your ass some testosterone over the counter to keep yourself going, man. Some Cialis or some Viagra, man, and tear those sweet walls up and make her think she the only one. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you gave 110% for home girl, you almost rupture your heart. You gotta go home. You gotta do 150% for home girl at home. They gotta call the ambulance for you. That's how hard you gotta go in, man. And those are my tips for the guys to cheating and getting away with it. If you follow this guide correctly, you will never, and I mean ever, get caught. But the main points that you need, like, if you'll take anything else from this list, these three things you must have. These four things you must do. You must stay off social media. You must have that wingman that will tell a lie to the dying end for you. You must never change your routine, and you must always smash the main girl like you smash the side piece, and you should never not want to hit it. You should always make her feel like she's wanted at all times. If you can't stand her, you want to just keep it going just because it's out of spite now. Go away and revenge fucker, you know what I'm saying, and go to bed. You know what I'm saying? You have to do that. And that's my guy. Wow, man. I might do a part two if y'all like it, man. Y'all hit me up, man. I'm gonna get so much hate for this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Half of this is joking, y'all. This is a little satire.
We welcome it, though.
We welcome it, though, man. It's all good and fun, man. But, you know, yeah. A lot of truth to this, too, now.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Because these are the prime mistakes that a lot of dudes make when they're cheating. And if you follow these, man, you won't get caught. You won't. Women do it. And they cheat on dudes for years and never get caught. Yeah. Because the main dude they with probably is the main provider. He really can't be home because he's always out. And other dude lays it down well and listen to her ass just a little bit. That's why she with him. And yeah. The other dude never finds out.
And a lot of times, like, I think a lot of women, they tend to mess around with a guy who has very little to lose.
That too.
So, you know, it's not, you know, the same, like if your man is, you know, a big time executive, more than likely you going to, you know, mess around on him with some fry cook or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a
someone that doesn't have like a strict schedule who can meet you at any time of the day, really.
Yep. The smash, like somebody work at Zaxby's or some shit.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl's Jr., somebody like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, or barista at, you know, Star Wars. Because it's always, like, when women cheat, you're right, man. It's always with some kind of, like, scumbag dude that don't really, that has all the time in the world to himself. Yeah. It's not really a man of means. You rarely see a woman that has a man of means shoot another dude with a man of means. Because, you know, dudes that got shit popping don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Man, they really don't. They just stay busy, man.
And a woman is not going to risk, you know,
that money, that
losing that big time guy.
Hey, that's the same thing with dudes too, man. If a dude got a sugar mama, or the woman bringing in all the money, you're going to end up just like Ben Affleck, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all of them. Who else? Didn't even Tiger Woods lay up with like a nanny?
Yep.
Yeah, man, it's easy access right there. Let's smash and like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nanny ugly as shit, dog. He didn't care. It was just there.
Didn't he get her pregnant too?
Yeah, got her pregnant, had a boy. Yeah, man. Yeah. In front of that shit on Family Guy. Talking about where is the nanny?
Yeah.
The house. He was like, the world is gonna end because he had like a Terminator mask, like Terminator suit. I was like, you don't seem like a Terminator. You seem like just an old Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, no, where is your nanny? And then it was like Consuela, and he was like, let's go, let's make a big face kid. But yeah, man. Like, usually when it's cheating, it's all about convenience. And with this guy, another thing I want to add. Thank you, ST. Another thing I want to add is, man, that side piece, she has to have as much to lose as you do. Because if the bitch ain't got nothing to lose, she won't expose your ass.
Yep.
And you got to be up front with the side piece. Because the reason why Steve Mandel, rest in peace, why he died, because he wasn't up front with his side piece. He was about to cut her ass off. You know what I'm saying? He went ahead and, you know, Hakuna Matata her, man. He went ahead and got Hakuna Matata, man, in his sleep. That's got to be a worse way to go, man. That's bad as a bad way to go. Jesus. Like, you didn't get a chance to explain to your wife that you're sorry.
Yeah.
You got bullets up in your ass, man. What was it, two in the head?
In the chest.
Yeah, east side of the temple. He was asleep. And then, like, a couple in the chest, man. She killed herself. God damn, man.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Whew.
Yeah, dude. But I hope y'all enjoyed. I'm glad ST would have had Unleashed the Beast, because I've been sending this playbook for a while. I hope y'all enjoyed our anniversary episode, man. I'm proud of us, man. We did it for a year, man. What's some of the things you're proud of, man, that we've done in this year, man, for years to come?
I mean, so far, you know, just the amount of information that we've been able to pass on to people, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, isn't always talked about, you know, some of the, you know, small intricacies of, you know, everyday topics, whether it be, you know, stuff like self-help and hoes out here winning, because, you know,
they still out here winning.
Yeah, they still winning. And, you know, and y'all niggas still, you know, giving them y'all playbook with, you know, with y'all plays on it. Y'all giving them the playbook that y'all trying to run.
Hell yeah, like you running the plays and then you like showing shit to the defense and be like, huh? Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? We run the weak side.
Yeah, just stack everybody up there. We not gonna audible. Go ahead. Nobody block. Like, shit. Like, come on.
Yeah. Also, you know, serious matters such as, you know, all of the police shootings and, you know, serious things like that, you know, just stuff that, you know, to keep the family, keep their eyes open, man.
Yeah,
stuff,
keep abreast on the situation.
Yeah, stuff that they can keep their, you know, their eyes open and looking for. So, you know, it's, I've really enjoyed, you know, this podcast so far. You know, we're going to keep bringing it to y'all every week. You know, giving y'all that heat, man, because, you know, we love doing it. And I'm, you know, as we saw this past week, man, y'all love hearing it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. Like, man, I was shocked when I saw just the love that we're getting, man, from all of our listeners, man. Just know it keeps us motivated, man. Thank y'all so much.
Yes, we love y'all.
Love y'all so much, man. If y'all could, you know, say, give us some reviews on iTunes. You know, it only take a second. You know, say, if you feel like it, you know, say, if you enjoyed my guys are cheating, and if you didn't, but still, you know, give us you know, some 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, say, to support, man. That's the one thing that we need to do more for each other, is to support each other, man. We're not selling y'all any lies. We ain't begging for shit. We ain't trying to say y'all know. We just giving out information, man. That's it. Everybody else, like, you know, say, you know, yeah, man, it's cool, man. But y'all need to go here, go to this Patreon right here, you know, and really, you know, support us. You know what I'm saying? And doing stuff that we ain't even doing that, man. So, you know, we just trying to just spread the love. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Every day, man. Every week. You know, trying to give y'all the lighter side to life. Hopefully make y'all laugh in the process, because that's, you know, pretty much what it's all about.
Yeah, that's pretty much all about in the end, man. It's just a show just trying to just be informative, but also just be fun, man, just to get you through hump day, man. The grueling, just Wednesday's so fucking grueling, man. And, you know what I'm saying, just give you just an option just, you know, to get away, just to escape for a little while.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And just going from there, man. But I'm just proud that we've committed this long.
Yeah.
For a year, man. We had a plan, put in action, and we executed, man. We have an episode about that. Go back and check out our archives about putting the plan together, executing it.
Yep.
And we got stuff coming up in the future, man. Y'all just keep looking out for us, man. We love y'all, man. Y'all have a good night.
Be ready for that new intro next week. We're gonna hit y'all up with something new.
Oh, shit.
Keep us, you know, in your prayers and your thoughts, you know, as we continue to do more and more stuff for y'all, you know, coming down the pipeline. Make sure y'all keep an eye out for us. Also, remember that ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. And that if there is no light, you must become the light. So be the light, y'all. We out of here. Yeah, we love y'all. Episode number 50. We see y'all next week.
We love y'all. Peace.
You. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Blank Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week. Oh,